Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
Today's broadcast is a little bit of a minefield because I'm speaking about such a globally popular person and someone that I honestly think if I had the chance to meet, I would want to meet her. She seems like someone who, despite some, you know, very misguided notions, genuinely does have a good heart. So I'm not anti-Oprah Winfrey, okay? But after her Golden Globes speech, where she was encouraging and empowering those to overcome the obstacles before them, to take inspiration from her example as a successful black woman who had accomplished so much, and to, you know, to seek success and the most out of their own lives. I mean, after that, which was an admirable speech, it really was an amazing moment, we began to see the chance of Oprah for president, Oprah Winfrey 2020. And, you know, the hashtags and the links and the repost and the retweets just went crazy because everybody seemed to be getting on this bandwagon and speaking out against that and against somebody who I genuinely do think has such a good heart. This is a minefield. So it would be my hope that you will receive what I'm about to say in the spirit in which it is intended, which is one of goodwill and compassion and a sincere concern about the temperature of the presidency here in the 21st century. I'm going to sort of make my case against Oprah 2020 here in just a second. I hope you'll listen and absorb it. Perhaps if it resonates with you, it will provide a resource where you can communicate to other people why you have your own concerns about this particular idea for this particular position of leadership, okay? But first, I want to thank the Great Courses Plus for sponsoring the broadcast and making today possible. They have a very interesting lecture series about the legal system that I want to tell you about. The law is something that affects all of us, right? It's something all of us need to understand. The court system and due process and privacy rights and all that and more. As civilians, we need to know how the law works, but how do we do that given the busy lives that we lead? Well, the Great Courses Plus has a lecture series called Law School for Everyone. It's tailor-made for you and me, and it teaches us in our own language. How does litigation work? How are crimes defined and prosecuted? What are our own legal rights on both sides of the courtroom? Law School for Everyone is taught by several legal experts. It's just one of over 8,500 lectures at the Great Courses Plus. You can watch from any TV, laptop, tablet, or smartphone, or you can listen with the Great Courses app. So start 2018 off right by signing up for the Great Courses Plus. As one of my listeners, you'll get a free trial to enjoy it all, but you have to go to my special URL. So start your free trial today. Sign up at thegreatcoursesplus.com/Seth. Remember, that's thegreatcoursesplus.com/Seth. Oprah Winfrey was born in abject poverty in rural Mississippi. She was born to a teenage single mom. She suffered years of abuse when she was a kid, just had a terrible childhood. She had said publicly she was molested when she was a child, pregnant at the age of 14. The child died in infancy. Oprah eventually moved to Milwaukee, and then she moved to Tennessee when she was in high school. She's 17 years old. She won the Miss Black Tennessee Beauty Pageant and got noticed. In fact, she got a job in radio at WVOL. She was a part-time newscaster. She delivered the news on the radio. And then that translated into co-anchor of a local news broadcast before she was even 20 years old. And then she transitioned to Chicago to work at WLS Television. That was 1983. She was host of the show AM Chicago, which for the first few months kind of languished in the ratings. But with Oprah at the helm, AM Chicago became a ratings powerhouse. She even defeated TV veteran Phil Donahue in the Nielsens. Just a few years out of high school, she had already begun building an impressive success story. She caught the eye of the late movie critic Roger Ebert, who noticed her and had a conversation with her and talked her into syndicating her talk show. And the name was changed from AM Chicago to The Oprah Winfrey Show. It expanded from 30 minutes to a full hour. And in 1986, she went from a local talk show to national. And she dominated daytime talk. Nobody else came close. Oprah Winfrey had gone from poverty to being a millionaire. Now, the early years of the Oprah Winfrey Show were really tabloidy, okay? I mean, daytime talk largely is, but it was really more tabloid than talk. And Oprah softened that approach a bit in the mid-1990s. She started focusing more on lifestyle stuff, spirituality, of course, some politics, lots of medical issues, lifestyle medical issues. And her show stayed on the air and remained dominant until the final broadcast aired on the 25th of May in 2011. Oprah was an accomplished actor. She played Sophia in the iconic Steven Spielberg film. I love the movie from 1985, The Color Purple. She was nominated for an Oscar for The Color Purple. She's been in a great many films and productions, everything from producing and starring in a film called Beloved, which was based on the stage play, to voicing Gussie the Goose for Charlotte's Web. She has written 5 books. Her weight loss book from 2005 reported to pay her the highest book advance in the history of book publishing, period. I mean, we don't have a number, but it was supposedly more than Bill Clinton got for his memoir, okay? She's a publisher in her own right with O Magazine and others. Oprah has her own XM radio channel. She owns a ton of property. She's got property in California, New Jersey, Chicago, Florida, Colorado, Maui, Hawaii, Antigua. Her website, Oprah.com, gets over 70 million page views every single month. CNN and Time Magazine have called her arguably the world's most powerful woman. She was also named by Time as one of the 100 people who most influenced the 20th century. How's that look on a resume? The net worth, estimated net worth of Oprah Winfrey is $2.9 billion. And I think perhaps most interesting is the influence that Oprah Winfrey has on pop culture. There's a phenomenon, it's called the Oprah effect. So if she lends her endorsement to something, you know, a celebrity or a product, there's a diet or a book or whatever, the sales of whatever that is, or the exposure of whatever that is, just skyrockets. I'm just not sure her influence can be overestimated at this point. It's huge. Oprah has been given credit for and criticized for demonstrating a lot of emotion and empathy toward many of her guests when on television in a way that was often not seen, especially in the early days of daytime talk. I mean, instead of just interviewing, she would connect emotionally with them. She laughed with her guests. She cried with them. She was not afraid to demonstrate, to show emotion. I think that's just fine. As long as, you know, you're not empathizing and validating bad ideas, which is part of what my objections are going to be about here in just a few minutes. I won't read to you here the text of Oprah's inspiring speech from the Golden Globe Awards. There's a great likelihood you've already seen it or you've already read the transcript. If you have not, hit pause on the broadcast and go watch the speech. I think it runs about 6-7 minutes. It's worth watching so that you can have context for what's about to come. On the 9th of January on Facebook, I posted this. I said, I'm so thankful for Oprah's message last night at the Golden Globes, and one can't help but admire the success story of Oprah's life. But this is a case where we should resist deifying the messenger. Remember that Oprah's hugely popular television platform has been a massively large conduit for pseudoscience, woo, and bad ideas. On Oprah's talk show, Suzanne Somers promoted nanotechnology, sleeping patches for better rest, for youth and, quote, detox, as Oprah told an adoring audience that Suzanne Somers might be a pioneer, her words. One of Oprah's favorite physicians is, who else? Woo Meister Dr. Oz, an insanely popular medical celebrity who promotes GMO warnings and tongue diagnosis and Reiki healing, which is Eastern mysticism. He talks with people who claim to speak with the dead. I'm talking about John Edward here. Dr. Oz even pitched a do-it-yourself method for whitening your teeth using strawberries and baking soda. By the way, scientists actually examined this claim and procedure, and they say not only is it a bunch of crap, but it will actually do damage to your teeth and make them less white. But Oprah boosted Dr. Oz to such popularity that he continues with his own freestanding platform on television and in print, and he just has stratospheric celebrity. Oprah promoted frequent guest Dr. Christiane Northrup. This gynecologist promoted fantastic orgasms through the increase of, and I know I'm going to say this wrong, Qigong, Q-I-G-O-N-G, which is chi-aligning body positions. Oh yeah, now we're getting really into the woo. These chi-aligning body positions, the Qigong, are supposed to send positive vibes to the vagina so that you can experience more pleasure. Well, we're all about greater pleasure, but the idea of chi has been completely and soundly debunked scientifically, okay? And of course, Oprah's couch has seen multiple appearances by anti-vaxxer Jenny McCarthy, the former Playboy playmate whose fear-mongering and propaganda about vaccines causing autism constitutes, in my opinion, a threat to public safety. I mean, she's harming children with this nonsense. And yet, despite all of this, there is much to admire about Oprah Winfrey. I mean, I do appreciate her brave stand for women, for human rights, her desire to inspire tomorrow's world changers. That's awesome. But I also agree with those who have said, against all this fervor, that, you know, they wouldn't celebrate an Oprah 2020 presidential ticket, because despite her admirable success story and her really good intentions, her track record of promoting pseudoscientific nonsense does not represent the kind of grounded, evidence-based attitude that our world so desperately needs. And I linked to an article from Skeptical Inquirer dated from 2010, which I felt was still relevant. It's called Oprah Winfrey, Bright But Gullible Billionaire. The article went back and referenced again Jenny McCarthy and her appearances on The Oprah Show and her claim that her autistic son was helped by chelation therapy. Science-based medicine did an exploration and an expose of chelation therapy. This involves using chemicals that can bind to the metal ions and allow them to be excreted through the kidneys, getting these metals out of your body. This is a standard therapy, by the way, for certain kinds of acute heavy metal poisoning, like you've got too much iron in your blood after a transfusion, you have copper toxicity due to Wilson's disease, legitimate medical things. But beyond the actual instances of this acute heavy metal poisoning, practitioners out there and alternative physicians are saying that, you know, heavy metal toxicity causes all kind of health problems, and it requires chelation, the removal of these metals, to help cure autism and help cure cancer and cure Alzheimer's and heart disease. And the science is not there for these claims. The science is either stretched or it's just totally non-existent. And yet, by propping up Jenny McCarthy on this pedestal, on a national, even global, broadcast pedestal, Oprah Winfrey has made herself a very large gear in the machine of McCarthy pseudoscience. She has attached herself to this agent of very damaging ideas. The Skeptical Inquirer article also talked about Oprah's love for New Age books. I mean, she says she's not New Age, but then she speaks constantly in New Age language, and she promotes these New Age books. And this reached a pinnacle when she promoted the book The Secret. The Secret is a book written by Rhonda Byrne. Now, in The Secret, instead of God performing miracles, you know, like healing miracles and all those types of things, it is the universe itself that performs the miracles in your life. And as the universe consists of vibrating energy that can be tapped into as long as you have a positive mental attitude, you can positively change your life through the universe's positive vibes. All right, you want to find love? The universe's vibrations can help you do that. You want to get rich, you want to become a millionaire or billionaire, fine. The universe's vibrations can help you do that. You want to lose weight, you want to look and feel better, the universe's vibrations can help you do that. This is just another play on the pseudoscientific universal law of attraction. And Oprah likes to play this law of attraction card quite a bit out there. And thanks to her influence, this book, The Secret, has sold over 20 million copies all around the world, at least half of those here in the United States. It's been translated into 50 languages. Now, you can see how it happened. Some well-meaning person out there who may be at a difficult stage in their life, they're watching the Oprah Winfrey Show, and Oprah holds up this book called The Secret and says, you know, you too can be a successful person. You too can overcome the odds that I overcame. You too can become rich and famous. You too can have it all. Like, who wouldn't want to believe that? And as such, many of these viewers bought into the secret and the fantasy behind it. Well, Oprah has to be held accountable for that. It was October of 2013 that Oprah got on the radar of a great many atheists when she aired this interview with the swimmer, the American swimmer, Diana Nyad, on the show Soul to Soul. Diana Nyad is just superhuman as far as I'm concerned. She's the one who swam 111 miles from Cuba to Key West. I mean, you should see her story. It's amazing. And she was speaking to Oprah on this television broadcast, and she said that she was an atheist, but she was still filled with awe and wonder in her life. She said, quote, "I can stand at the beach's edge with the most devout Christian, Jew, Buddhist, and weep at the beauty of this universe and be moved by all of humanity. So to me, my definition of God is humanity and is the love of humanity." And Oprah was sitting across from her and just was having a hard time processing. And Oprah responded, "Well, I don't call you an atheist then. I think if you believe in the awe and the wonder and the mystery, then that is what God is." In other words, Oprah could not accept that awe and wonder could genuinely exist beyond a God model, right? How could it honestly thrive in the heart and mind of an atheist? And a lot of people just freaked out and said that Oprah hates atheists. That's not anything I inferred from this at all. I just think Oprah was just another one of those people who was, you know, holding to that conveniently nebulous brand of silly putty spirituality. You know, it's always being molded and moved to fit whatever and can never be really locked down or defined. And she just couldn't process it. And she was wanting to speak about real world things in spiritual language. I didn't see it as an attack on Diana Nyad, but it is a very telling conversation. I'll link that in the description box if you'd like to watch it. It's just a few minutes long. And honestly, Oprah ought to be given credit for having the conversation. At least she had Diana on the show. I just wish Oprah had used some of that skepticism she had for the atheist, and she had directed it at many of these woo-meisters and spiritual gurus that she had previously pretty much let off the hook over a series of decades. I mean, did you know that you can buy on iTunes right now, courtesy of Chopra Enterprises Corporation, you can buy Oprah and Deepak's 21-day meditation experience. Yes, apparently Oprah partnered with Deepak Chopra using mantras and music and centeredness of mind and spirit to tie back into that universal law of vibration, attraction, whatever. And this is supposed to benefit you creatively and make you more successful and improve your love life and do all that stuff. And if you go to the website, you can go to ChopraCenterMeditation.com. And the photographs on the homepage right there, it's Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey. Right there, side by side, shoulder to shoulder. The header of the webpage says, "Oprah and Deepak making every moment matter." And there's a button underneath that says, "Start meditating." Now, Deepak Chopra is, of course, this hugely famous New Age guru. He's one of the richest people in his field, which is what? I don't know, spirituality, alternative medicine, whatever. And he always spouts this strangely convoluted pseudoscientific nonsense. And it's become so ubiquitous, it's become the stuff of parody. People just have a field day. Now, these are actual statements by Deepak Chopra. This is the kind of stuff that he says. He says, attention and intention are the mechanics of manifestation. And his Twitter feed, hashtag cosmic consciousness. Deepak says, consciousness cannot be stuffed into a thought, just as an ocean can't be contained in a wave. You are that ocean. He says, wisps of memory and threads of desire recycle as mind, body, and universe. The light of awareness brings the universe into manifestation, whatever that means. Many times he invokes the quantum, right? He's trying to sound scientific. And this gave rise to a fantastic website. It's called the Random Deepak Chopra Quote Generator. You can just Google it. Is it Deepak or Deepak? I go back and forth. Deepak Chopra Quote Generator. Google that and then just watch what comes up. It's awesome. You know what? We've got a second here. Let's go to the website. All right, let's just go and get a couple of bogus yet somehow profound Chopra-esque pieces of wisdom. Wisdom of Chopra. There it is. Wisdomofchopra.com. And I will click the link. It says the enigmatic wisdom of Deepak Chopra. And then it just generates this sort of word salad that sounds like something he would say. Just a few of them that appear on the homepage. The unpredictable explores the door of sexual energy. And then there's a button underneath that says, receive more wisdom. I shall do so. Your body illuminates the light of choices. Receive more wisdom. Greatness shapes unbridled boundaries. Awareness is the ground of ephemeral actions. True faith meditates on the barrier of abstract beauty. This is the kind of shit that he says anyway. In fact, I think there's a website where you can go and it puts the bogus quotes next to actual Deepak Chopra quotes. And the game is you have to decide which ones he did not say. And it's nearly impossible because they are so freaking similar. Now, somebody in the comments section made an amusing observation about this friendship, this partnership between the two. Because if Oprah Winfrey ran for president, and if she chose Deepak Chopra as her running mate, the 2020 ticket would be Oprah Chopra for president. That alone might be worth changing my mind. Who are you voting for, Oprah Chopra? That's just hysterical to me. And yet this guy is somebody Oprah promotes and partners with and admires and helps. And despite her many, many admirable traits, these associations are just credibility killers. They kill credibility if we're looking for the kind of real-world pro-science, evidence-based leadership and decision-making that our presidency deserves. I hope Kurt Anderson at Slate doesn't mind when I read an article that he published on the 10th of January verbatim to sort of put a punctuation mark on my objections because I like the way he phrased it. He was writing for the science column at Slate, titled the article, Oprah Winfrey Helped Create Our American Fantasyland. Kurt Anderson says this, 48 hours ago, after watching Oprah Winfrey give a terrific, rousing feminist speech on an award show, millions of Americans instantly, giddily decided that the ideal 2020 Democratic nominee had appeared. An extremely rich and famous and exciting star and impresario, but one who seems intelligent and wise and kind, the non-bizarro world version of the sitting president. Some wet blanketing followed immediately among the best from the New York Times Magazine writer Thomas Chatterton Williams in an op-ed headlined, Oprah, Don't Do It. Quote, it would be a devastating self-inflicted wound for the Democrats to settle for even benevolent mimicry of Mr. Trump's hallucinatory circus act, he wrote. Indeed, the magical thinking fueling the idea of Oprah in 2020 is a worrisome sign about the state of the Democratic Party. Despite the magical thinking reference, neither Williams nor the skeptics have seriously addressed the big qualm I have about the prospect of a President Winfrey. Perhaps more than any other single American, she is responsible for giving national platforms and legitimacy to all sorts of magical thinking. From pseudoscientific to purely mystical fantasies about extraterrestrials, paranormal experience, satanic cults, and more. The various fantasies she's promoted on all of her media platforms, her daily TV show, with its 12 million devoted viewers, her magazine, her website, her cable channel, aren't as dangerous as Donald Trump's mainstreaming of false conspiracy theories. But for three decades, she's had a major role in encouraging Americans to abandon reason and science in favor of the wishful and imaginary. Oprah went on the air nationally in the 1980s just as non-Christian faith healing and channeling the spirits of the dead and harmonic convergence and alternative medicine and all the rest of the New Age movement had scaled up. By the 1990s, there was a big, respectable, glamorous New Age counter-establishment. Marianne Williamson, one of the new superstar New Age preachers, popularized a channeled book of spiritual revelation, A Course in Miracles. The author, a Columbia University psychology professor who was anonymous till after her death in the 1980s, had claimed that its 1,333 pages were dictated to her by Jesus. Her basic idea was that physical existence is a collective illusion, the dream. Endorsed by Williamson, the book became a gigantic bestseller. Deepak Chopra had been a distinguished endocrinologist before he quit regular medicine in his 30s to become the, quote, physician to the gods in the Transcendental Meditation Organization, and in 1989 hung out his own shingle as wise man, author, lecturer, and marketer of dietary supplements. Out of its various threads, the philosophy now had its basic doctrines in place. Rationalism is mostly wrong-headed. Mystical feelings should override scientific understandings. Reality is an illusion that one can remake to suit oneself. The 1960s countercultural relativism, out of which all that flowed, originated mainly as a means of fighting the man, unmasking the oppressive charlatans in charge. But now they had become mind-blowing ways to make yourself happy and successful by becoming the charlatan in charge of your own little piece of the universe. Quote, it's not just the interpretation of objective reality that is subjective, according to Deepak Chopra. Objective reality per se is a concept of reality that we have created subjectively. As an aside quickly, this is the kind of bullshit that makes Deepak Chopra hysterical. It's not just the interpretation of objective reality that is subjective. Oh, God. You can read it on your own. Back to the article. Exactly how had Chopra and Williamson become so conspicuous and influential? They were anointed in 1992 and 1993 by Oprah Winfrey. As I say, she is an ecumenical promoter of fantasies. Remember the satanic panic. The mass hysteria during the 1980s and early 90s about Satanists abusing and murdering children that resulted in the wrongful convictions of dozens of people who collectively spent hundreds of years incarcerated. Multiple Oprah episodes featured the celebrity, quote, victims who got that fantasy going. When a Christian questioner in her audience once described her as New Age, Winfrey was pissed, quote, I am not New Age anything. And I resent being called that. I don't see spirits in the trees, and I don't sit in the room with crystals. Maybe not those two things specifically. She's the respectable promoter of New Age belief and practice and nostrums, a member of the elite and friend to presidents, five of whom have appeared on her shows. New Age, Oprah style, shares with American Christianities their special mixtures of superstition, selfishness, and a refusal to believe in the random. Quote, nothing about my life is lucky, she had said. Nothing. A lot of grace, a lot of blessings, a lot of divine order, but I don't believe in luck. Most of the known prophets and denominational leaders in the New Age realm owe their careers to Winfrey. Her man Eckhart Tolle, for instance, whose books The Power of Now and A New Earth sold millions of copies apiece, is a successful crusader against reason itself. Thinking has become a disease, he writes, to be supplanted by feeling, quote, the inner energy field of your body. The two of them conducted a series of web-based video seminars in 2008. New Age, because it's so American, so utterly democratic and decentralized, has multiple sacred texts. One of the most widely read and influential is Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, emphatically placed in the canon by Winfrey as soon as it was published a decade ago. Quote, I've been talking about this for years on my show, Winfrey said during one of the author's multiple appearances on Oprah. I just never called it The Secret. The Secret takes American fundamentals, individualism and supernaturalism, and belief in belief, and strips away the middlemen and most of the pious packaging, God, Jesus, virtue, hard work rewarded, perfect bliss only in the afterlife. What's left is a law of attraction, and if you just crave anything hard enough, it will become yours. Belief is all. The Secret's extreme version of magical thinking goes far beyond its predecessors. It's staggering. A parody would be almost impossible. It was number one on the Times nonfiction. Nonfiction? It was number one on the Times nonfiction list for 3 years. The book promises there isn't a single thing that you cannot do with this knowledge. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. The Secret can give you whatever you want. And then Kurt Anderson posts a quote from the book, which I'm going to skip. Going to skip down a little further in the article, where Anderson says, Winfrey ended the Daily Oprah broadcast in 2011, a month before the final episode. She interviewed Shirley MacLaine for the millionth time and asked about 2012, quote, what's going to happen to us as a species? MacLaine explained, we are coming into an alignment. It is the first time in 26,000 years you have an alignment where this solar system is on direct alignment with the center of the galaxy. That carries with it a very profound electromagnetic frequency. And Oprah Winfrey interjected, vibration. Vibration, MacLaine agreed, and gravitational pull, hence the weather. What does that do to consciousness? What does that do to our sense of reality? It's why people feel rushed and stressed, she said. Winfrey asked her audience for an amen. Are you all feeling that? She asked, and they were. So my stuff isn't really that far out. But what's actually happening, Oprah, MacLaine continued, explaining how the relevant astrology proved the supernatural inflection point was exactly 620 days away. She said, it's the end of that 26,000-year procession of the equinox and the threshold of a new beginning. And I think what this pressure, this kind of psychic spiritual pressure we're all feeling is about, is that your internal soul is telling you, get your act together. Kurt Anderson continues, it's one thing to try and experience more peace of mind or feel in sync with the divine order. Mixing magical thinking with medical science and physiology, however, can get problematic. A generation after its emergence as a thing hippies did, alternative medicine became ubiquitous and mainstream. As with so many of the phenomena I discuss in my book, Fantasyland, it's driven by nostalgia and anti-establishment mistrust of experts, has quasi-religious underpinnings, and comes in both happy and unhappy versions, and has been brought to you by Oprah Winfrey. I'll skip down to the bottom of Anderson's piece here, where he says, if Ronald Reagan became the first king of his magical thinking realm in the 1980s, Oprah Winfrey has become the first queen of hers in the following decade. Like Reagan, I believe she is both sincere and a brilliant Barnum-esque promoter of a dream world. That's the article. I'll include that link as well in the description box if you'd like to go back and read the entire thing and to browse through the language in greater detail. For those who remain proponents of a presidential run by Oprah in the year 2020, for any number of reasons, Perhaps they think anything's better than what we already have, or because they're ready to see a strong black woman in a leadership role because they see her obvious love for people. There are a lot of understandable reasons why people might lean toward an Oprah presidency. But perhaps one of the best arguments against it for even those people might be the question posed to Oprah herself. Hey, Oprah, why in the world would you take such a demotion? And I will leave further discussions on this to you and to yours. Whatever happens in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead, let us hope. In fact, let us do more than hope. Let us work toward the promotion of rational, real-world, evidence-based, science-based thinking in ourselves and our celebrities and certainly in our world leaders. Can you imagine how much better the world might be? Thanks for listening. Take care of yourself. I'll see you next week.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.